أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين، واللعن الدائم على أعدائهم أجمعين من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. Dear viewers, dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. As you know very well, we are talking about the principle of trust in Islam. So far, we have touched a number of verses and traditions to show to you the importance and significance of this Islamic principle. This session will be devoted to studying the different uses and advantages of this principle. Though we alluded to some of the uses of this principle before, but in this session we will further focus on the uses and applications of this useful principle. To begin with, I would like to say that being trustworthy is one of the moral qualities of the chain of prophets. As mentioned before, it was one of the qualities of the prophets of God to be trustworthy. None of them betrayed others. None of them betrayed their families, their people, their nation. Each one of them was faithful to their religion, to their people, into divine obligations. So it is a part of the moral attributes of divine prophets to be faithful, to be honest, and to be righteous. If they were entrusted, they would not betray, and they would fulfill the trust. And that is the reason why Imam Sadiq says very clearly and describes this moral attribute for us. He says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ لَمْ يَبْعَثْ نَبِيًّا إلا بصدق الحديث وأداء الأمانة إلى البر والفاجر. Allah the Exalted did not send any prophet. Allah the Exalted did not appoint any messenger unless he was a truthful person and unless he was a trustworthy person. So being truthful and being trustworthy are among the prerequisites of prophethood. One cannot reach the stage of prophethood. One cannot attain the stage of prophecy until one is qualified with this quality. If you are truthful, and if you are honest, and if you are trustworthy, then know and make sure that you have part of the qualities of the prophets. Don't underestimate what you have got. Understand the value of what you have acquired, because you have shared the prophets in their qualities. It is not something simple. It is not something you can pass by very easily. The Holy Prophet of Islam was, among other prophets, very much known for this quality of his. If you study the biography of the Holy Prophet, and if your study is based on reliable sources, not on distorted sources, because nowadays there are many biographies attributed to the Holy Prophet which are not reliable. They are not based on authentic traditions. The traditions on which these biographies are based are distorted and are false and fabricated. One must be very much careful while studying the biography of the Holy Prophet, because as the Holy Prophet had many friends, many devotees, he had also many enemies, arch enemies, and his enemies leave no stone unturned in order to distort the image of the Holy Prophet. They try to introduce our Prophet, who is the Prophet of love, the Prophet of sympathy, the Prophet of peace, as the Prophet of violence, as the Prophet of killing and murder, and as the Prophet of violation of human rights. Well, this is not true. And this is because they have based their studies, they have based their investigations on unreliable and unauthentic sources. If they were careful about this, they would not have committed such errors. Anyway, if you study the biography of the Holy Prophet, and if your study is based on reliable sources, then what will happen? The result will be that you will get acquainted with the personality of the Holy Prophet. The Holy Prophet was a person who was trustworthy. He was giving importance to the principle of trust. Whenever he was entrusted, he did not betray others. He was observing his promises, and he was faithful to his commitments. He did not make any commitment. And if he made any commitment, he would have tried his best to fulfill it. And that is why they have written about the Holy Prophet that when the Holy Prophet was leaving Mecca for Medina, when the situation was turning from bad to worse in Mecca, and there was no possibility for the Holy Prophet to stay in Mecca, and when the Holy Prophet was forced to leave Mecca, then the Holy Prophet appointed somebody to deliver the trust back to their owners. First of all, this shows that the Holy Prophet of Islam was a trustworthy person among the Meccans. The people of Mecca were actually believing in him, and they were accepting him as an honest person, and therefore they were entrusting him. They were depositing things with him on trust, and they were relying on him. And when the Holy Prophet was compelled to leave the holy city of Mecca, the Holy Prophet did not ignore the trust, saying that, okay, now that I'm forced to leave Mecca, I will not pay attention to the trust that are with me. No, the Holy Prophet did not ignore it. Instead, the Holy Prophet was very particular about it. He appointed some person. It is said that it was Imam Ali. He appointed Imam Ali, peace be upon him, to deliver the trust back to their owners. He was supposed to identify the owners and to deliver the trust back to them. So it shows that the Holy Prophet of Islam was very much concerned about the observation of this principle. And that is the reason why Imam Ali, our first Imam, says that the Holy Prophet, while dying and while passing away, said thrice, addressing Imam Ali, he said thrice, Ya Abul Hasan, Addil Amana ila al-Birr wal-Fajr. O Ali, O father of Hasan, deliver the trust back to its owner, whether he is a good doer or a bad doer. Don't think that if he is a bad doer, then you have the right to possess the trust or to make use of it. No. Pay the trust back. Deliver the trust back to its owner, whether the owner is a good person or a bad person. And then again, he says, فِيمَا قَلَّ وَجَلَّ. And again, don't say that if the trust is something important, then it must be delivered to its owner. But if the trust is something trivial, is something unimportant, then we do need to deliver it back to its owner. Don't make such an argument. Deliver the trust back to its owner, whether the trust is important or not, whether it is significant or not. If you are deposited with a laptop, you must deliver it back to its owner. And again, if you are deposited with a pen, for example, again, deliver it back to its owner when it is required. And look at the example the Holy Prophet provides us with. He says, حَتَّى فِي الْخَيْتِ وَالْمَخِيدِ. Even if you are deposited with thread or with needle, these are the things that are very much trivial. We do not pay attention to such kind of items. If you are entrusted with such kind of things, then again, don't betray the trust. And deliver these things back to their owners. So this was the life of the Holy Prophet. And that is the reason, again, why our Holy Imam advises us to be very much concerned about this principle. And this is the Holy Prophet again, who gives us a very beautiful piece of advice. He says, "Atul amanat walau ila qatalat al anbiya." Deliver the trust to their owners, even if the owners are the killers of the prophets. If the owners or the killers of the prophet again give back the trust to them, because they are the owners. So it shows how much important this principle is. And if we are qualified with this quality, and if we acquire this quality, it means we have shared the holy prophets in our own prophet, the prophet of Islam, in their qualities, in their characteristics. And we will be actually praised by Allah as the holy prophets were praised by God the Almighty. Another function of this moral attribute is that being trustworthy or trustworthiness is a sign of the love of God. If a person in your society is a trustworthy person, then know it and make sure that he is loved by God. It is a sign that tells us that he is loved by God. How can we know that Ali, Taqi or Naqi is loved by God? Look at his conduct. Look at his behavior. Is he a trustworthy person? If he is a trustworthy person, it provides us with a sign that tells us that he is loved by God. But of course, if he betrays others, if he is a deceitful person, if he is not a faithful person, then again, such kind of policy provides us with symptoms, with signs that tell us that he is not a friend of God. And God does not befriend him. God does not love him. God loves those who are faithful, who are honest, who are trustworthy. The moment you come to know that someone is trustworthy, know it that he is the one who is loved by God. And this is what Imam Ali tells us. It is not our word. It is not our expression. It is the expression made by Imam Ali. Imam Ali says, إِذَا أَحَبَّ اللَّهُ عَبْدًا حَبَّبَ إِلَيْهِ الْأَمَانَةِ. Whenever God loves somebody, he makes him trustworthy. He makes him honorable in the eyes of people. He makes him trustworthy in the eyes of the onlookers. Everything is in the hand of God. It is the requirement of the principle of monotheism. If you are a popular person, don't think that you are the cause of popularity. No, it is really God who is the cause of every effect, including your popularity. You are popular because God has willed this phenomena to occur. If he did not will, this would not have happened. So if God loves somebody, then God makes him a praiseworthy person. And people will be inclined to trust in him, to believe in his words. You cannot gain the trust of others very easily. And you need others to like you of their hearts. And this cannot be done without the intervention or without the interference of Allah the Almighty. In another function of this moral quality, or you can say the third function of the moral, of this moral quality, is that it is a sign of the mercy of God. How can we know that God is merciful towards this or that person? One of the ways through which we can know this is to look at the conduct of this or that person. If a person is trustworthy, if he is entrusted by other people, like the Holy Prophet of Islam who was entrusted by the people of Mecca, if this happens with any person, then we can understand from this that God is merciful towards him. God is kind towards him. And look at this beautiful tradition from Imam Kazim. Our holy Imam says, "In أَهْلَ الْأَرْزِ لَمَرْهُومُونَ مَا تَحَابُوا وَأَدُّوا الْأَمَانَاتِ وَعَمِلُوا بِالْحَقِّ." The people of the land, the inhabitants of our land, will be at the mercy of God, and God will be merciful towards the people of the earth as long as they are loving each other and as long as they are trustworthy towards each other and as long as they act with the principle of truth. If these three principles are observed on the land, then the inhabitants of the land will lead a prosperous life. And the inhabitants of the earth will be among those people, Allah is kind to them. They will be among those people, Allah is merciful to them. So how can we know that we are among the people towards whom God is merciful? We can understand this by giving a look at our conduct, by making a self-examination, by examining our behavior, by studying our conduct, we can come to know as to whether or not we are the people who are taken to be good by God, and God is merciful towards them. So this was the third function of this moral attribute. Yet there is another function that is also very much important, and I also made a mention of this before. This quality is actually providing us with a sign that tells us that the person who is trustworthy will enter paradise. Every one of us, as I mentioned before, is desirous to enter paradise. We do each and everything in order to enter paradise. And we want to know it in advance whether or not we will enter paradise. God has introduced certain items as signs and as marks through which we can understand whether or not we are the inhabitants of paradise. And one of the signs that are introduced by God is trustworthiness. Allah the Almighty says, if you are a trustworthy person, if you observe the principle of trust, then make sure you will enter paradise. Because one of the qualities of those who live in paradise is that they are trustworthy. They do not betray others. So it is one of the signs, and if we are given this, then we can come to know that we will, inshallah, enter paradise. Look at this verse, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِأَمَانَاتِهِمْ وَأَهْدِهِمْ رَاعُونَ. Many qualities God mentions, and among the qualities mentioned by God is this, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِأَمَانَاتِهِمْ وَأَهْدِهِمْ رَاعُونَ. And those who deliver the trust to their owners, and those who keep their oaths, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْوَارِثُونَ. And they are the inheritors. What do they inherit? They inherit the paradise. They enter paradise, and they live in paradise. So one of the functions of this moral quality is that it facilitates your entrance into paradise. So let's try our best and let's ask God to help us to acquire this quality and to make ourselves equipped with this beautiful and with this useful quality. Thank you very much for listening.